Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They offer broad nationwide coverage. In fact, they use the same towers as all the major carriers. Go to patriotmobile.com/Carson. Get free activation with the offer code Carson. Support a company that loves America, loves you, and shares your values. PatriotMobile.com/Carson or call 972-PATRIOT.
Rush Limbaugh shared his comedy for years. Now you'll hear it here. It's the Rob Carson Show.
And by the grace of God, it is Friday part two, actually. I'm just going to go ahead and say yesterday was Friday. Let's be honest, okay? Let's be honest. A lot of people taking the day off. If you are working maybe your first, second, or third job because of the Biden economy, welcome to the show. We have so much to get to. And so little time because, you know, I've got a major honey-do list going all weekend long. And I'm going to be heading up to Home Depot here very shortly, where I understand they're having a sale and that the Democrat Party casket nails are on sale this week. I think it's pretty cool. They're going to need a whole bunch of them coming up in November.
I'm talking propane on the gas grill, open flame, hold the pan still in flannel. It's plaid, still never question the gas
Home
skill.
Depot.
I'm in the backyard. Belt, big truck in a backpack, working on a house, and I flip it like a flapjack. Phillips said with a tread hammer with a knapsack, got a creak in the knees, even got a bat.
On some days, I go to Home Depot like five times.
Back, never backtrack, two measure, one cut. Got a big beam, bolts, and a lug nuts.
Get stuff halfway together, and I'm like, oh, son of a gun, I need a whatnot.
Who's in a tool kit, thinking of what does what, hit him with a sport when I'm...
I mean, you know you got a problem when you got a your first name basis at your Home Depot with all the employees.
In them a putt, putt.
Hey, sports.
There you go. So there's your Home Depot. Casket nails on sale for Democrats today for the Democrat agenda, which, by the way, has been had its butt kicked. I'm not going to use the word curb stomped anymore because people were upset by that. So I'll just say the Democrats and the liberal agenda getting its butt kicked. How's that? This week, and I've got some more good news. I got some more good news on that front coming up. I've got, I've got some really, really good stuff on this Cassidy Hutchinson, her testimony in front of the J6 community. And I mean, she could be in trouble. She could be in all sorts of trouble for what she did. But the positive is she will have a job at MSNBC. No matter what she does, she will always have it. Now, of course, this is a 4th of July weekend. Woke California School Board. They are asking members not to to call for a boycott of the 4th of July because there's no reason to celebrate. There's some people who say that. Ana Maria Avila Farias, a member of the Contra Costa County Board, the CCC, the County Costa County, whatever the hell, Board of Education, shared a fading image of the U.S. flag alongside the caption, "Boycott the 4th of July." Yeah, I haven't celebrated the 4th of July since 2016, and I don't think it's a holiday to celebrate, she wrote in a Facebook post. What do you think? The local school board member later confessed to not feeling particularly patriotic thanks to abortion rights being overturned last week in response to the comment on her post suggesting she maybe have a funeral and bury the Constitution and the flag. Farias wrote, "Please invite me," is what she said. She also went on to cite the 3/5 compromise, the 1787 fugitive slave clause, and Frederick Douglass' 1852 famous speech. She needs to realize that this whole 3/5 thing was created because Democrats wanted the complete votes of their slaves to count. So even though they had to live in servitude, Democrat slave owners wanted to be able to count all of their votes for Democrats. And that's why they came up with the 3/5 compromise. It was actually good for those who were enslaved in the South. She, by the way, this woman actually put 9 reasons why I don't celebrate the 4th of July. So there you go. After 1776, it took nearly 100 years before my ancestors technically gained their freedom in 1865. And a whole heap of pain, trauma, and oppression maintained during those years when only white Americans were liberated from someone else's rule. Well, I know, but you never lived through that. That's the thing. You know, and it's a thing about becoming a more perfect union and You know, whatever. These are things you kind of need to know. I want to play a little bit of this just to start off the show in a patriotic manner. And then we'll dive into the next poll here that I have about Americans wanting to take up arms. This is John Voight. He came out yesterday, and I love to listen to John Voight. John Voight, he could read a toothpaste label, and I'd be like, oh, my God, this is fantastic. And I might have to watch National Treasure again this week. And normally on the 4th, I watch Independence Day, the movie. Maybe boycott that because of Will Smith getting all smacky at the Oscars. Anyway, here's John Voight.
My dear friends, we're all saddened by so much turmoil that has been brought upon this life we live. Can this darkness be lifted? Can we all share joy once again?
And I think we will.
See eye to eye. We have a troubled nation with much horror from these criminals that are ruining lives.
You know, the whole criminal thing, the burning of the cities in 2020, and, you know, the smash and grab robberies and crime going through the ceiling in Democrat places.
We must stop.
Oh, and then those Roe v. Wade hate, you know, those pro-life hating abortionists burning down churches in Virginia and going after crisis pregnancy centers.
This now, we must bring back our nation's safety. Our police force.
Yay, conceal carry. Yay, support the police.
Must act on righteousness and guard our neighborhoods, our businesses, our children, our elderly.
Yale, Kyle Rittenhouse.
Our veterans and our handicapped. We must protect this nation and bring back safety. We're all...
Wow, this guy is a radical extremist.
...feeling very unsafe. We're all angry.
He should be in jail in Washington, D.C.
And let's remember why.
Why?
It starts with the seat of the President of the United States. He has wronged this nation's glory. He has taken down our morals, our true gift.
And he opened up the border wholesale to an invasion of our country, a breach of our sovereignty, and a breach of your sovereignty and safety.
The land of
that's impeachable.
Free. He must be impeached. We cannot wait another second having him dictate our path.
Well, we're going to have to wait until November. There you go. I wanted to hear a little John Voight. He just sounded kind of good. I wanted to hear him this morning, so I hope you don't mind. I hope you don't mind. Quarter of Americans said they're ready to take up arms against the government. Poll finds that more than a third of those currently own guns. Now, what have I been saying? I'm not saying take up arms. No. Not one little bit. But I'm going to tell you, if you bring that smash and grab S, if you bring that Antifa S to my neighborhood, you're going to get your ass shot. And I really mean that. I mean, you come to my neighborhood is, America, and it's not all white either. It's mixed neighborhood. I got the Sikhs up there. No, they're called Sakes now. They're called Sakes. Mercy, Sakes alive. Anyway, so we got some Sakes living up the street. Got my biracial couple neighbor down there and a gay couple down. They just moved in, and their yard is fantastic, by the way. But anyway, you know, and they're all like, don't bring it here. Don't bring it here. More than a quarter of Americans, 28%, said it might soon be necessary to take up arms against the U.S. government, according to a new poll released Thursday. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that, because the government's effing you over in a giant way, in a number of ways, and they're trying to take over your lives. They're trying to control every part of your life. So I've got proof of this. I will share. Now, I don't speak in bumper stickers like the left does. I've got proof. Oh, you wouldn't believe how badly you're going to get scrod in the fall with regard to COVID vaccines that don't work. Oh my goodness, there has never been such graft and corruption in the history of the planet. Of those who felt that way, 37% currently own guns. This is according to the poll. Maybe this is why the federal government is trying to stop AR-15 ammunition from getting to consumers. I'm absolutely serious. Maybe this is why the HHS during Barack Obama's administration bought 1.5 billion rounds of ammunition. Maybe that's why the IRS is buying millions of dollars worth of ammunition right now. Their poll also showed that a majority of Americans, liberal and conservative, both, did you hear that? Felt that their government was corrupt and rigged against people every day. Joe Biden brought us together, people. Joe Biden brought us together. Because even people who consider themselves to be classically liberal, not left, love the country, love growing up in the country, love coming here, came here to be in this country, and the current left-leaning swamp hates it. and they hate you for loving it, and they want to control every bit of you, and they want to live in a two-tiered system of the bourgeois and the proletariat, just like in A Tale of Two Cities. We also have a Bastille in Washington, D.C., and I think we know how this story ends. The survey found that overall 49% of Americans agreed that they more and more feel like a stranger in their own country. 69% of voters who identify as very conservative expressed it. Only 38% of sheep, I mean Democrats, feel that way. Though 60% of Americans felt generally they trust elections to be conducted fairly and counted accurately. Is that a lie? Is that a punchline? Did they write that? Who did that? Is this from The Tonight Show? Party divisions among those feel differently. Yeah. It looks like Republicans say, yeah, about 80% say they can't trust elections. Republicans, 51% of independents, and 33% of Democrats. So there you go. There you go. And I've got some news for you with regard to gas prices. And I don't want to whiz on your parade, but I'm going to tell you, you're about to get scrod even worse. And you had all the information you needed just a couple of weeks ago in a hearing between the Secretary of the Interior and Joe Manchin, of all people. That is going to come true. I'll explain that coming up in the next segment. But I do want to mention that a top FDA advisor warned that the new COVID booster formulated for Omicron variant is no better than existing shots, and say the switch would be trivial. Now, here's the problem. The Biden administration has already purchased 130 shots from Pfizer in a deal worth $3.2 billion. So there's a couple of things going on here. A, the new shot is worthless, and we should use the stuff that's already in the stockpile and not buy more. And second of all, only 30% of Americans are still down with getting the shot. A Maypole found that 31... Maypole. It's a Maypole. Oh, my God. Dance around the Maypole. Found that only 31% of Americans report being either somewhat worried or very worried about COVID. So there's no need for this, but there is a payback that needs to happen. And there are a lot of people going to get really rich, and there's a lot of this stuff that's going to end up going down the toilet. There's a lot of these new 130 doses of vaccine that are either going to be shipped to another country or thrown away. This is why Americans are pissed. And when I tell you what they're planning on doing with gas and the price of being able to live in this country, you're going to be even more livid. Then I'm going to intersperse that with some commentary and maybe even some comedy. How does that sound? Okay, cool. Here's a number, 800-922-6680, 800-922-6680. This, my friends, is a Friday edition of the Rob Carson Show.
An election year, and a whole lot of Democrats have electile dysfunction.
That is simply not true.
It's the Rob Carson Show.
So it's 4th of July weekend, and I didn't get out to make my fireworks run yesterday. I'm going to do it after the show today. And I set a little aside. I get a little change jar. I'm not kidding. I have a change jar, and I'm guessing it probably has about 150. In it, and I'm gonna be taking that. I'm gonna cash that in and go buy some fireworks. Wife's out of town. Woo! Yeah, that's how I party. Yeah, I might even go to Bed Bath and Beyond while she's out of town. Although the head of Bed Bath and Beyond has just resigned. I guess they fired the guy. They apparently are suffering because of they got all woke and everything, and they got rid of the MyPillow. The MyPillow. I got a MyPillow. I've had a MyPillow for about a dozen years. I love the thing. It's you know, wash it and the whole deal. This is not an ad for MyPillow. I'm just saying it's the only pillow I use now, and I've had it for about, maybe a dozen years. Anyway, Bed Bath & Beyond, they started turning down their thermostats and limiting store hours and stuff like that because, they're woke. And so it looks like if you're going to go to Bed Bath & Beyond, you might want to do that because you never know how long they're going to be around. Never know. Majority of Americans cutting back on spending due to immense financial pressure. More than 50% spending up to $500 or more on groceries, $250 extra on gas. I went up the other night to buy some hamburger. Last night I got some hamburger because I made these little mini pizzas for the family, for my kids and me. And recipe I found on TikTok. Thanks. And I was just looking at the ground beef. And they got this thing. It's like maybe a pound and a half, maybe 2 pounds of ground beef in this package. And they've got the 80-20, which is the stuff that's almost white because there's so much fat in it. It's like you make a patty out of 80-20 beef that's, the size of a softball, and it'll cook down to the size of a quarter because of all the fat in it. And that was like $7. And then the good stuff, the 75-15 or the whatever, maybe the 88-12, whatever. And that was like $12. And I said, nah, I'll just cook the fat out of the 80-20. So I did the 80-20, and then I drained the fat off of it and, started with a wok full of hamburger. And then it cooked down to, just like a bowl full. Anyway, gasoline prices up 48% in May this year compared to May 2021. Meat prices 14.2%. 70% said of you and me have changed their travel habits. 32% are spending up to $250 more on gas per month. But the Biden administration was going to save you $12 a month by getting rid of the federal gas tax. It's just so funny. Oh my God! And groceries are stupid now. I mean, really, really stupid, expensive. And if you think honestly, if you think it's just 6% or whatever, you're so ungodly wrong. It's not even funny. And you clearly don't do any shopping. By the month of May, meat and poultry up 14%, cereal 12%, fruits and veggies 8.2%. Let's see here. Oh, raging inflation, much worse than we're being told. If the government calculated price increases the same way it did in the 80s, we're already in Jimmy Carter territory. This according to former Restaurant Empire CEO Andy Puzder and ex-Senator Jim Talent. Do you want to know what the current, adjusted for inflation and all of this stuff, is right now in this country? Would you like to guess what the current inflation really is? About 16% if we're calculated as it was during the Carter years. So there you go. The Everyday Price Index, also known as the EPI, is averaging 20.6 annualized so far in 2022. So there you go. Why do I play the theme song, Welcome Back, Carter? Why do I do, should I play it? Maybe I should. I should play Welcome Back, Carter. Let's have some fun today with some comedy. How does that sound? Let's say, since we do have, we're in Carter-esque territory, then I think we should play this. This is from Jim Gossett on a Friday edition of the Rob Carson Show on your favorite radio station. Hit the post.
Welcome back to Jimmy Carter 2.0.
He's pegging out the sucker meter.
Welcome back. He's the same bad press, but his name is Joe.
Only gonna get worse.
Well, the names have all changed since Jim was around.
Hang on, kids.
But the swamp that remains can't be turned around. Joe's killing off the nation.
Killing off the nation.
Say hello to stagflation.
Hello to stagflation.
Yeah, we tease him a lot, cause brain cells he ain't got. Welcome back.
He loses them every day.
Welcome back. Welcome back.
It cost an arm to fill your car.
And a leg.
Welcome back. Your paycheck's the same and it don't go far. Joe pulled all the troops from Afghanistan.
Keep the equipment.
Everything is screwed up. I guess that's his plan.
Oh, yeah.
He's an Obama puppet.
Obama puppet.
Let's go tell him to stop.
Tell him to stop it.
Yeah.
The worst in history. That's why we chant FJB. Welcome back.
Welcome back. Welcome back.
You got the vaccination?
Or the mom and dad, or the neighbor, or when you go to church, or when you're... No, I really...
That, of course, Jim Gossett, two S's and two T's, threw that together. We collaborated on that, by the way. Welcome back, Carter. Now, we're asking... when a gas price is going to come down. And if you're thinking they're going to come down anytime soon, you are absolutely wrong. You know why? Because Joe Biden is using the Russia-Ukraine war to say that that's causing it. That's a lie, of course, but it gives him cover.
How long is it fair to expect American drivers and drivers around the world to pay that premium for this war?
As long as it takes. So Russia cannot, in fact, defeat Ukraine and move beyond Ukraine.
Okay, so nobody believes this because it's a lie. But he's sticking with it. And when I tell you what they're planning, well, it's going to get really, really ugly. That's coming up. You're listening to The Rob Carson Show. Don't go anywhere. So for those of you who are trying to fly this weekend, my sister-in-law tried to come in 2 days ago, had the flight canceled. Right now, the state of airline travel in this country is a giant Charlie Foxtrot, also known as a chicken foot. But there's a solution. Take it away, Bill Shatner.
Cancel Flight Negotiator.
Now, with CancelFlightNegotiator.com, yeah, you can name your own price to never arrive at your 4th of July destination. Why not book a flight with UAL, which stands for You Ain't Leaving?
Oh, boy.
Be sure to check out our new companion fares. That's right. Two people can be stranded at the airport for the price of one.
Hey!
And be sure to check out our new holiday fares. Leave on Thanksgiving. You might get there by Christmas.
Like that.
And every ticket purchased comes with a complimentary pillow for the 3 nights you'll spend sleeping at the airport. CancelFlightNegotiator.com. Shop, compare, save.
Canceled Flight Negotiator.
Jim Gossett, thank you, James. That was outstanding. Very, 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 very good. And not far from the truth, by the way. So this is pretty interesting. We heard from Joe Biden that, you know, the war is going to be, oh, by Putin inflation, everything's Putin's fault because, you know, the war. Which is a giant flaming pile of crap. We all know that. Everybody knows it. In fact, hold on a second. 97% see Joe Biden's inflation is a crisis or a problem, and about 85% of Americans think America's going in the wrong direction. That said, Joe Biden's director of the National Economic Council on Thursday was asked about, you know, these gas prices and how insane they are. And I've told you, you're going to get super scrod this summer. And you're thinking, hey, Joe Biden's going over to Saudi Arabia, and he's going to take one for the team, maybe literally. And the whole thing, oh, this is all going to work. No. They are not. They're going to blame, because this is their plan. This is Brian Deese, the director of National Economic Council. Talking, he actually uses the word liberal world order. That even makes it better.
Now, military analysts, the director of national intelligence, they say that this could be a long war measured in years. And I think everybody understands why this is happening. But is it sustainable? What do you say to those families who say, listen, we can't afford to pay $4.85 a gallon for months, if not years? This is just not sustainable.
Now, normally somebody would say, you know, we're going to become energy independent again, like with Donald Trump, because that was, the last time we were energy independent and the only time we've ever been really energy independent. And all we would have to do is do this. And the only reason why we are having to go to Saudi Arabia is because we did this to ourselves. There is no debate about that, kids. There is no debate whatsoever that this is self-inflicted and created. And I will share with you the secretary of the Department of Interior about a month ago with Joe Manchin, and it'll set everything straight for you.
Well, what you heard from the president today was a clear articulation of the stakes. This is about the future of the liberal world order, and we have to stand firm.
So no matter how high the gas prices get, this man just told you, it's not going to get better.
But at the same time, what I'd say to that family and to Americans across the country is you have a president administration that is going to do everything in its power.
Yeah, but you see, you know, you guys, you are having to skip meals and stuff and you may lose your house. Just know that this president is doing everything in his power between weekend visits to Delaware to bring down the price of gas, which means nothing.
To blunt those price increases and bring those prices down.
He's doing everything he can, but he's not doing anything.
Good news, the last 2 weeks we've seen the price of gas at the pump come down about 20 cents.
But whoa, that's amazing. But that doesn't mean, again, D word for Richard.
Still unacceptably high. That's why the president, before he was at NATO.
Yeah, you know, blah, blah, blah. So done with you. Bleep off. Oh, did you hear the state of Maryland? They had this automatic increase in the gas tax in Maryland, which used to be, maybe a time in history it was a great state. I mean, it is still is a great state. It's just the people in charge suck. 10 cent per gallon increase in the gas tax in Maryland. So that's what they call, I guess, what? Insult to injury. Insult to injury. Stocks tumbled yesterday. The worst first half of the year in over 50 years. There's that. The SS Biden, in case you're wondering, way hit the iceberg like a long time ago and has been taking on water about a year now, maybe a year and a half. Business leaders' optimism hits a record low amid soaring inflation, labor shortages. Have you noticed that lately? There's a Walmart near me. They're paying $17 starting per hour. Do you suppose the bake shop down the street can pay their employee $17 an hour? But in California, millions are going to get $1,050 in inflation relief. A $17 billion instant inflation relief package. So millions of Californians get $1,000 of your money to pay for your gas that they caused to go through the ceiling. Yeah, yeah. Oh, and then there's this. The Biden administration did not give an explanation as why it missed its own deadline with regard to major oil leases on federal land. Yeah, they didn't even say a thing about it. The deadline was yesterday. So Interior Secretary Deb Haaland vowed during a Senate hearing on May 19th to issue a legally mandated program that outlined proposed offshore lease sales over the next 5 years. Yesterday is when it was supposed to come out. An announcement was supposed to take yesterday, but it didn't happen. I wonder why. Here's the exchange between Senator Joe Manchin and this this woman who is nothing more than a couple of checked boxes. She's a radical leftist. She's a Native American woman, you see. So she checks a couple boxes. But anyway, here's the exchange. I want you to listen to Joe Manchin's response to this. Realizing, of course, he's from West Virginia, and realizing that West Virginia just had a major win against the EPA, where coal-fired power plants can tell the EPA to suck it. Here is Joe Manchin and Deb Haaland in May.
If I may, real quickly, Secretary Haaland, I don't know, you all just put out a statement, the U.S. Department of Interior just put out a statement, and the statement basically says, a proposed program is not a decision to issue specific leases or to authorize any drilling or development. This is from y'all's office. So it looks like you are on to shut everything down. Did you know you all put this out?
I am sorry. I am sitting in this hearing and not...
My God, somebody, it shuts it down.
Did you just hear him? That's a Democrat. My God, you're just planning on shutting it down. Well, that's what they did yesterday, kids. That's what they did yesterday.
It shows what your intent is. Yes, we can. We'll get copies for everybody.
Listen, everybody. Listen
basically,
to this.
Basically, it says Secretary Haaland provides updates on offshore leasing program during the...
By the way, this is the first time this has happened since 1958.
Senate testimony. During testimony before the U.S. Senate Committee on Energy and Natural Resources today, Secretary of the Interior, Deb Haaland, confirmed that despite delays in implementation from the previous administration, the Interior Department will release the proposed program. The next step in the five-year offshore energy planning process...
They submitted nothing, which means no leases for the next 5 years.
...by June 30th, 2022, which is the expiration of the current program. A proposed program is not a decision to issue specific leases or to authorize any drilling or development.
There you go, kids. That's the plan. I told you, man. Fortunately, the Supreme Court ruled against the EPA. And so they do not possess this unbridled power they used to have. So presumably on state-owned lands and privately owned lands, they can tell the federal government to, go to hell. That's a positive. That victory meant a whole hell of a lot. This is kind of funny. This is Corinne Jean-Pierre the other day. She let a little slip. She was trying to say that Joe Biden was going to do his level best to alleviate the pain that Americans are feeling, but she said something else.
I mean, the president has been very clear in making sure that he does everything that he can to alleviate
the pain. There you go. A little slip there. Oops, doop.
Does everything that he can to alleviate the pain that American families are feeling when it comes to gas prices.
What's he doing? Yesterday he was asked about, going to Saudi Arabia, you're going to beg for oil? Oh, no, there's something else there. I think I just made a poopy. I'm going to get on my bike now. That kind of thing. So that's where we are. That's where we are, kids. If you thought that things were going to get better, you are absolutely high. And if you thought that gas prices were going to come down, you're wrong. You are absolutely wrong. Do you know why? Remember what I said earlier about the big pharma companies and $3.2 billion that Pfizer is going to get for a vaccine that nobody needs in the fall, that nobody wants in the fall, that will probably end up going to other countries or just be thrown away? Remember that? Well, the same thing happened with the car companies and electric vehicles. Remember that? Joe Biden said that all vehicles in the federal fleet, he signed an executive order the day after he became president, that all vehicles in the government federal fleet would be converted to electric vehicles. And Nancy Pelosi, her husband, went out and bought a whole bunch of stock in electric vehicles. And the only thing is that there are a lot of vehicles in the federal fleet that there is no such thing as an electric replacement, like big SUVs and tractors and, all sorts of other transportation vehicles. I would assume also if you look at Army vehicles, there's no electric Army vehicles out there. There's no electric ships out there. So it's all a giant screw job. That's what it's meant to do. And when Jean-Pierre Rompal, or whatever the hell her name is, when she said that Joe Biden wants to elevate the pain, that's exactly what she meant. How could you say that? Because Barack Obama in 2007 said that he wanted to see European-style gas prices. And his energy secretary said the same thing. This is one of the moist dreams of the class of 1968, kids. And if it becomes $10 a gallon, then they'll be fine with it. If it becomes $12 a gallon, they'll be fine with it. But you and I aren't going to take this anymore. Things are going to happen in this country. If that happens, there will be rallies in the streets, these times peaceful. And there will be people saying, screw it, I'm not going to work, screw it, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that. Americans are going to start saying no. And I would encourage you to do so. And I hope that any of you National Guard troops who were told you had to get your vaccine by last night, if they attempted to fire you, I hope you just walked. Because we're tired of the abuse. We're tired of the indignity. We're tired of the abuse. Go to Home Depot, get those Democrat Party coffin nails this weekend, because that's where the Democrat Party is going to be in November. Let's go to Dave in Santa Cruz, California, the home of KSCO, our glorious affiliate. Hello there, David. Welcome to the Rob Carson Show. What's up on this Friday?
Yeah, just echoing what you were saying, Rob, about the gas. I mean, we have so much gas, and they're purposely not letting us use it and, like, just destroying, our economy. And then I heard the government saying they want to have green shipping zones, which, yeah. I mean, that doesn't even exist. I mean, would that be a rowboat? Or back in the day when you have all those guys rowing and then there's a guy whipping them and they're rowing? I mean, I don't understand why people don't see what's happening.
It's a joke. But you heard the stats early in the show with Americans. There are people who want to take up arms. You got 85% of the American population, including 80% of Democrats, saying they don't like the direction of the country. Joe Biden has united us, Dave, against him. That's the positive. But we've got to stop the damage that can happen before November. I appreciate the phone call, brother. Got to take a break. You are listening to the Rob Carson Show.
To all the Brandons out there, we salute you and say, let's go, Brandon. It's the Rob Carson Show.
For 5 years, we heard attacks on Donald Trump. We heard he needs to be removed from office. We heard celebrities say that he should be assassinated. We heard all of these things. We endured all of that. And right now, I would like to say, I think the number one order of business when Republicans take over the Congress is to impeach Joe Biden and remove him from office for the count of breaching our border and our sovereignty as a nation and our safety as the American people. That or use the 25th Amendment to use him to get him out, because everybody knows his brain doesn't work. 59% of Americans are concerned about Joe Biden's mental or physical health. I put this out on all social media yesterday, followed with the line, and the rest of us could really give a crap less. Not wishing bad upon Joe Biden, but I'm not thinking about it. I'm not worrying about his mental or physical health. I'm just asking people to look at it and say he should not be the president. And that would be common sense. Now, here's the victory in the Supreme Court, another butt-kicking, not a curb-stomping, a butt-kicking that the left is taking. U.S. Supreme Court, of course, significantly curtailed the authority of the EPA. West Virginia versus Environmental Protection Agency, Congress did not grant the EPA the authority to devise emission caps based on the generations shifting approach the agency took in the Clean Power Plan, according to the court. The case concerned the EPA, Obama-era EPA regulation known as the Clean Power Plan, which created guidelines for states to limit carbon dioxide emissions from power plants. Okay? Now, this sounds kind of harmless and all that stuff. John Roberts wrote that the Obama-era Clean Power Plan was an unprecedented power grab by the EPA that affected a fundamental revision of the statute, changing it from one sort of scheme of regulation into an entirely different kind. It was a gigantic power grab, and they convinced you and me and others that carbon, which everything that life is based on the planet, carbon emissions and carbon dioxide, which would encompass anything essentially except for plants because they expel oxygen, it would regulate everything. That's what it was there for. Roberts ruled the agency cannot force power plants to move away from fossil fuels and towards renewable sources without further legislation from Congress. A decision of such magnitude and consequence rests with Congress itself or an agency acting pursuant to clear delegation from the representative body. Elena Kagan is an idiot, okay? She is not a smart person because she fell for all the crap with regard to carbon. Listen to this. Supreme Court Justice Elena Kagan warned parts of the East Coast could be swallowed by the ocean in a dissenting Supreme Court opinion. She sounds like a sophomore in high school who just went through, you know, a slideshow presented by PETA or something. ELF, whatever. If the current state of emissions continues, children born this year could see parts of the eastern seaboard swallowed by the ocean. Well, you better tell Barack Obama that, because he has a new house and a $15 million house in Martha's Vineyard right on the ocean, and one in Hawaii right on the ocean. You know why? Because he knows this is a bunch of crap. But you're a Supreme Court justice and you fell for this. Yeah, she fell for it. Now, the positive is the EPA is preparing to cite the United States' largest oil feed for field for violating ozone pollution standards, a move that would threaten the end of oil and gas production in the region. All right, so this is the Permian Basin, the largest oil field in the United States, accounting for 95 millions of gasoline per day, or 40% of the oil produced domestically. The Biden administration wants to shut it down. Yesterday's decision by the Supreme Court hopefully will stop this, because this was meant to blow it up. This was meant to get $10 gas and $15 gas. And God help us if that ever happens. And one final note. In France, they actually, because of all this Green New Deal nonsense, they're having to restart coal-fired plants this winter in order to combat energy insecurity. And it kind of makes sense in France.
You're what the French call les incompetents.
From Home Alone, yes, they are. They are.
You're what the French call les incompetents.
They are les incompetents. Let's take a break, come back. You are listening to The Rob Carson Show.
superstition. Now, that jealousy.
You only arrest for the purpose of dealing with a felony that's committed, and I don't count drunk driving as a felony.
That is Joe Biden on the stage with Vice, the publication, a couple of hosts, and he said that that about drunk driving, and they literally sat there gobsmacked, like, where the hell did that come from? All right, so coming up, there's no a trial like a show trial, an update on Cassidy Hutchinson and the January 6th committee, which leaves the stage with its tail between its legs. Next hour, right ahead. Don't go anywhere, kids.
Rush Limbaugh shared his comedy for years. Now you'll hear it here. It's the Rob Carson Show.
And by the grace of God, it is finally Friday, ladies and gentlemen, a three-day weekend, and we've got plenty to get to, including the show trial, the January 6th committee, in just a moment, in case you are trying to travel in Joe Biden's America. I know this kind of comes as a surprise that you're having the worst summer ever. I guess maybe something that might have contributed was all those pilots that had to quit or be fired because they didn't get the COVID vaccine. Yeah, you think there maybe is a little something to do with that? Just a little? I don't know. But anyway, there is a solution. Here's Bill Shatner to tell you about it.
Cancel Flight Negotiator.
Now, with CancelFlightNegotiator.com, you can name your own price to never arrive at your 4th of July destination.
Good.
Why not book a flight with UAL, which stands for You Ain't Leaving?
No.
Be sure to check out our new companion fares. That's right. Two people can be stranded at the airport for the price of one.
It's a second honeymoon.
And be sure to check out our new holiday fares. Leave on Thanksgiving. You might get there by Christmas.
Like that.
And every ticket purchased comes with a complimentary pillow for the three nights you'll spend sleeping at the airport.
Neat.
CancelFlightNegotiator.com. Shop, compare, save.
Cancel Flight Negotiator.
You know, they really ought to make those uncomfortable seats at the airport into hide-a-beds, don't you think? Wouldn't that be nice? We got a hide-a-bed in my wife's she shed. It sleeps pretty well, actually. Maybe they need those in airports. Why do they make the damn seats so uncomfortable in airports? They're going to make you stay there anyway. Ken in Woodbury, Maryland is on the phone. Hello there, Ken, and welcome to the Rob Carson Show. What's up today? Hello, Ken. Are you there? All right. I don't believe Ken is there. Maybe he's stuck at the airport. I'm really not sure. So, a lot of people traveling this weekend. A lot of people are staying home this weekend. I'm staying at home this weekend, going out to buy my fireworks today. And, you know, it's been a busy, I mean, honestly, don't you kind of feel like you need a couple days off? Although many of you are working your second job or third job this weekend. Because there's a lot of things been happening, including, I guess there's the show trial. Yeah, the show trial. Gonna be off for a few weeks because, you know, I did a face plant.
There's no trial like a show trial, like no trial that I know.
It's been a doozy.
Everything about it is deceiving.
That's a lie.
The January 6th committee lies. A bunch of crap that no one is believing. The tales they're weaving, nobody buys.
Gigantic.
There's no people but Joe's people who'd fall for this lame show. Adam Schiff's a liar who's been caught before. Kim Zinger is a major bore.
It's another rhyme, I'm
thinking. Janie won't be in the Congress anymore. Cause this trial is for show.
Super!
Yes, this trial is our show.
Glenn Greenwald, by the way, it's Jim Gossett again there, by the way. Brilliant, brilliant job there, James. Glenn Greenwald, the journalist echo chamber on Twitter, led to Cassidy Hutchinson's fail. Pulitzer Prize winner, and I'm a fan, actually, of Glenn Greenwald, castigated the state of modern journalism in a thread Thursday, arguing that the progressive ideological echo chamber that currently governs the industry is responsible for the repeated spread of untrue stories like Russiagate and Cassidy Hutchinson's now famous claim that Donald Trump grabbed the steering wheel of the presidential limo. As any lawyer will tell you, if I'm being honest, few things are less reliable than a proceeding with no adversarial component. Yeah, do you see? Nobody's challenging her or anyone else or the testimony. It's a joke. It's a joke, and Liz Cheney should go back to wherever the hell she's from. I think she might be from Montana, but bye-bye. You and Adam Schiff and Adam Kinzinger. These hearings have been zero. One could assign whatever blame one wants for that, but perhaps it means journalists should be skeptical of assertions there. You know, like Brett Baer, who should know better. But he has beyond jumped the shark. He has jumped the Snake River Canyon. And like Evel Knievel, he plunged right into it. I got to tell you, Brett, you know, I always had kind of this, like, you know, I met you a few times, hosted a couple of fundraisers with you, but honestly, you fell for this. It's really sad. I mean, this isn't even journalism, all right? Because I used to respect you as a journalist until, I don't know, the night of the election in 2020. Back to Glenn Greenwald. If yesterday you were followed conservative journalists or analysts, and really, why would anyone do such a thing? Just block and ignore them. You could have heard instant skepticism over even over the physics of Hutchinson's claim that Trump was able to grab the wheel of the beast. Maybe parts of Hutchinson's story are true, although the part that got the instant attention and calls for prosecution, Trump assaulting his agents and grabbed the wheel of the beast, was highly dubious on its face, but journalistic skepticism, not cheerleading, is needed. 100% true. If, as a journalist, you don't instantly join the liberal mob, if you wait to see how facts emerge, you stand accused of sin. But if you jump on the board, applause for virality, not virility, virality, getting on viral, and cable bookings are yours. It's literally impossible to count how many times during the Trump years some blockbuster Russiagate event just materialized. The thing was that they were convinced it was going to be a fatal blow. Journalists even spent all day on Twitter reflexively peddling it, only to watch it fall apart over and over. For many, Glenn Greenwald says, corporate journalists, Twitter equals liberal equals Twitter equals the constituency that matters. It's a joke. And this woman, Cassidy Hutchinson, was able to literally take third person or fourth person hearsay. She heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from another. Donald Trump tried to grab the steering wheel of the beast. Yeah. And when asked, because the Secret Service agents involved said, no, that's not what happened. It didn't happen at all. We'd like to testify. We'd like to swear that it didn't happen. And Liz Cheney was asked about that by Jonathan Carl.
Did you seek testimony from Tony Ornato or Robert Engel?
Not Orlando. He's in Branson.
To corroborate or to refute what she said?
I don't want to get into too many details.
This is what they say. Like Adam Kinzinger, when he says, oh, yeah, we've got some great evidence of Donald Trump doing this. Well, really, can we see it? Well, I don't want to get too far ahead here. I don't want to get too much away here. And then ultimately, there's nothing.
The committee has spoken to both Mr. Ornato and Mr. Engel, and We welcome additional testimony.
Yes, but it's only the testimony we want to hear. So if you want to hear them say, yeah, Cassidy Hutchinson is lying, you're never going to hear that.
Under oath from both of them and from anybody else in the Secret Service who has information about any of these issues.
Yeah, the Secret Service has already said, we are here for you. We always have been here for you. And you never bothered to call those Secret Service agents or inform us that Cassidy Hutchinson had this story and she was going to testify for the January 6th committee.
Do you expect that that testimony will be live testimony under oath like her testimony and for the world to see? How is that going to happen?
Look, we have been working with the Secret Service. We've interviewed, as I said,
You haven't.
Number of individuals in the Secret Service. We will continue to do so.
No, you haven't, and you won't.
And I think it is important that their testimony be under oath.
She is just an awful person, you know. I think she belongs to the there's a group of constituency. They're kind of like the Congressional Black Caucus. It's called the Happy American Grandmas. And so it's happy instead of the Congressional Black Caucus, the CBC, it's the HAGs. And so she is a happy American grandma. Also, Maxine Waters is a happy American grandma, hag. And then also, I believe Liz Warren is a hag as well. So it's kind of cool. I mean, it takes the politics out of it. They can be happy American grandmas. and they can be hags, and that's what they do. It's pretty cool. It's really neat. That's just, I mean, that's beside the politics. It's kind of nice they can look beyond politics. Here's Jim Jordan talking about the January 6th committee and what a joke it is.
From this committee is lie after lie after lie. They lied about Bernie Kerik's travels. They lied about Representative Loudermilk's tour. They lied about Jenna Ellis's documents. They lied about Eric Hirschman's notes. They lied about the Secret Service. They lied about
their age when they tried to buy beer.
About me twice, a text message that I forwarded to the chief of staff, and a video clip. All we have got from them is lie
after lie
after lie after lie. So we are not going to get the truth, particularly when there's no chance to cross-examine and no chance to see the documents. I mean,
even like liberals know this is a joke.
Think about all the lies we've caught them in, and that's without having any access to the transcripts of the depositions. So many things they're telling us have to be false based on the simple fact we've caught them in 7 lies without seeing any of the evidence.
They were going to wait until after the 4th, and they hit Tuesday with this gigantic revelation that Cassidy Hutchinson was going to do this testimony, and she said that, you know, she created this tall tale about Donald Trump trying to grab the steering wheel of the beast. I believe also she said that Paul Bunyan had a giant blue ox, and he created the Great Lakes. I think she also said that. So here are some things. There are some whoppers that she said that she should held legally responsible for. Said the president attempted to grab the steel of the beast, the steering wheel. Two of the Secret Service agents involved said it didn't happen. Plus, he was also not in the car on the 6th. There was that. He wasn't in the car. That just came out. Cassidy Hutchins said that President Trump grabbed the neck of Secret Service agent Bobby Engel. Bobby Engel says, nah, it didn't happen, and I'd like to testify. Okay? Cassidy Hutchinson said President Trump broke dishes or a dish and threw it at the wall on January the 6th and left ketchup on the wall. Dear God, he should honestly just stand him up in front of a firing squad and kill him for that. What a mess. Trump saying that didn't happen. Cassidy Hutchinson claimed that she had a handwritten note. She wrote one on January the 6th. The truth is, actually, White House lawyer Eric Hirschman said that he wrote the note. So she lied about that. Cassidy Hutchinson said her boss Mark Meadows called Roger Stone on January 5th to find out what would play out the next day. Roger Stone says he's never talked to Mark Meadows outside of a conversation they held in 2019. General Flynn, Cassidy Meadows and Mark Meadows spoke with General Flynn, she said, on January 5th. General Flynn has never had a phone conversation with Mark Meadows. Cassidy Hutchinson said General Flynn and Roger Stone participated by phone in a briefing in the war room in the Willard Hotel with Mark Meadows on January 5th. Did not happen. Stone and Flynn have not spoken with Meadows on the phone ever. Here is Steve Bannon and Boris Epstein on Steve Bannon Show talking about the trouble that Cassidy could be in.
Not from this committee is lie.
No, that is that it would be. That would not be him. That would be Mr. Jordan. Here we are.
Because of what happened. Walk me through. Why are we going to see some criminal referrals here, sir?
We absolutely should. A criminal referral is absolutely appropriate. And hey, you know, we have the information we have, right? And under every piece of info we have, Cassidy Hutchinson lied up there under oath. She lied about, you know, pretending that President Trump is Jason Bourne and he's driving the limo or the SUV and yes, choking out his Secret Service agent.
Jumped a washed out bridge.
And drinking a Diet Coke with his foot and tweeting with the other foot. She lied about that.
Yep.
She lied about the note. She lied about Pat Cipollone being in the West Wing that morning. She lied and she lied and she lied and she lied. Mm-hmm. And she lied about Rudy Giuliani and Jeffrey Clark meeting. So everything all the information that's been presented.
Let me put this in perspective. Her lies in front of the committee yesterday would be like me lying and saying that I could still bench press my body weight. I mean, it's that bad. It's that bad. Greg, you hold on. You will be up next. We've got a little more audio on this. Then we will segue into concealed carry. All right, concealed carry. And, the Democrats think that by allowing the open border in the South, it's going to bring Hispanics to vote for them. They're wrong in a big way. That's on the way. You're listening to The Rob Carson Show.
Sleepy Joe. Joe Biden's been asleep for years.
This has to be a wake-up call and shine a bright spotlight on anything like this behavior anywhere.
It's the Rob Carson Show.
It is just an incredibly damning and dramatic story. I would just, as a journalist and as an American, appreciate more corroboration for the story, since as of now, it is hearsay. I mean, it is somebody...
Oh, sure. But, you know, it's a really good story. Kind of like, I guess, Johnny Appleseed was a really good story. But I really don't think that all the apples trees growing in the country was a guy walking around with a pot on his head dropping apple seeds in the ground. I don't think that ever happened. I could be wrong. Oh, this just in. We had a story that one of the other tall tales that Cassidy Hutchinson said yesterday, or when she did her testimony on Tuesday, that she was impregnated with Bigfoot's baby. And Liz Warren said she'd pay for the abortion. So we're still waiting on confirmation on that. Let's go to Ken in Woodbury, Maryland, listening today on this glorious precursor to a three-day weekend. Hello, my friend. Welcome to the show. What's up?
Wanted to make you laugh. You know, I'm down here in Baltimore, and, you know, the crime is, like, off the hook. So we've had probably about almost 180, 190 murders since the first of the year.
I know.
Now, you're really going to like this. When I tell you this, you're going to laugh for the next 3 days. Are you ready?
All right.
They're making sure that everybody in Baltimore City is fully aware that fireworks are illegal in Baltimore City.
Well, thank God they're going after the real criminals. You know, I got to Ken, I got to tell you.
Watch that old lady with that sparkler. She might burn your eye out.
Yeah, but you know, Ken, you don't really need it. If you're just listening for the sound of fireworks, you got those year-round, man. So are the law enforcement officials telling people that fireworks are illegal? Make sure to not shoot off your fireworks. Is that what they're saying right now?
You can't even have a cap gun in Baltimore City. But an illegal gun or a ghost gun, you can have as many as you want. You carry as many as you want.
Wow. All right, my brother. Well, you know what?
A van will pull up, a door will open up, You got two people inside firing at you. It just happened last week, got three of them shot. Van pulls up, door opens up, two of them in the back, both of them shooting at you.
I know.
And shot last week.
This on the heels of months ago.
This happens a lot in Baltimore.
I know. About 4 or 5 months ago, there was a restaurant manager who was shot, and the same night that a grandmother who was working for Uber Eats was murdered. I mean, dear God in heaven, what the hell? I mean, I used to love going to Baltimore with my son and my daughter and hang out at the Inner Harbor, Fells Point, go see the the fort, go enjoy some Italian food, and I wouldn't go now. I might if I can get my concealed carry, and I know that many people in Baltimore are going to do that and already have started the process, Ken. What do you think?
And the saddest part about it is Little Italy used to be one of the safest parts in the city.
I know. It's sick.
They mugged a Catholic priest down there, too. I guess you didn't hear about that. A priest got mugged down there. So happened a couple months ago. So
what the hell? I'm just so done.
Everybody's like, nobody wants to come to Baltimore.
No.
I'm like, well, do you blame them?
No. It's sickening. It's sickening. And the thing is, I lived in Washington, D.C. for a dozen years, and I always felt a kinship with Baltimore. I just think Baltimore is a working man's and woman's city. It's just cool. It's ethnic. It's a hodgepodge. It's easy to get in and out of if I want to see professional sports. And I hate this. I hate this. Why can't Baltimore follow the lead of, like, Cincinnati? Cincinnati used to suck. It doesn't anymore. And it's just ridiculous to me that Baltimore, this is happening to Baltimore. It's sickening. I just can't stand it, Ken.
Mayor Brandon Scott
did a
wonderful job. He said he wants a holistic approach to crime. And I'm thinking, yeah, his holistic approach is, the time he gets done, everybody in Baltimore have a bullet hole in them.
Yes, nice.
Holistic approach, you will have a bullet hole in you.
Nice. All right, my brother, you got big plans for the weekend? You're going to be hanging out with your family? What's going on?
I'm doing the same thing you're doing. I'm staying home.
Staying home, get some fireworks that are illegal?
Here's another thing that's got me puzzled. I haven't been vaccinated.
Uh-oh. Okay? Yes.
And I've been around people who's died from it.
I know.
And I've handled stuff that they've handled.
Yeah.
And by the grace of God, I'm still here and I feel fine.
So. Yeah, you know, I had it. It wasn't fun. I'm not vaccinated. It wasn't fun. The reason why I didn't get vaccinated is a health reason that I had from when I was 30. I had a heart attack because I had strep throat. And so I'm not about to get myocarditis because that's a death sentence. But I got sick. You know the weird thing, Ken? Do you know anybody in your circle of friends who died of COVID?
No.
That's weird. Neither do I. How weird is that? And I got thousands of friends.
Everybody that here has died had underlying health conditions.
That's kind of crazy. And none of my friends on Facebook, all 5,000 of them, none of them died of COVID. It's kind of weird that way. Worst pandemic ever. All right, on the way, President Doofy strikes again. Don't go anywhere. And a special guest, too. Rob Carson Show on a Friday. We're waiting on Jack Brewer. We're going to be joining a special guest. Fascinating guy, former NFL player, among other things, and a huge advocate for fatherhood. Really, really cool. Presidential appointee, chairman of the AFPI, evangelist with strong social media presence, and the founder of the Brewer Group. So we're going to join him in just a moment. He's shuffling around some papers and getting adjusted and all that. And by the way, he has introduced a resolution promoting fatherhood and the vital role that it plays in for children. And for those of you who don't know, I am a big advocate for adoption and fostering kids, and I've been working with inner city kids for about three decades on fostering and adopting children. And again, Jack, we don't need the camera. I know we don't need the camera, Jack. Just the audio is fine. How you doing? I think he's getting ready to go. I'm sorry, man. I'm on Skype, so I'm kind of stuck. How you doing today?
Man, I am doing absolutely amazing. I'm in Vero Beach for a baseball tournament coaching my Hero Boys, and, you know, it's a glorious time of the year.
Yeah.
Coming up on Independence Day.
Now, are you a coach or a father or both?
I'm both.
Sweet.
I'm both. I'm a pretty committed coach. We have youth programs, baseball, flag football, track,
nice.
And boxing. And so I stay pretty active with the youth and try to push our initiatives that, you know, prioritize God first and love of country, brother.
Yeah, you know what? I did a lot of athletics when I was a kid because I was always really big. I went in eighth grade, I was 6'1", 245. I'm not kidding.
Wow.
And we had seven football games my eighth grade year. You want to guess how many quarterback sacks I got in seven games? 35. 35.
Wow.
You know why? Because it was like playing your dad.
I love it.
Oh, man. So welcome to the show. I'm a big fan of you, sir, and not just because you have a really cool name. Because you're, I mean, honestly, Tom Cruise or somebody like that should be playing you in a movie. Jack Brewer. Jack Brewer. I just love it. I love it. But you are a big believer in fatherhood, the glory that is fatherhood. You are also an evangelical Christian, and I respect you for that. And you've also introduced this wonderful resolution promoting fatherhood and its vital role it plays for kids. And I'm going to tell you, Jack, I have been fighting for kids and adoption and fostering my entire career of broadcasting. I'm the product of adoption. My mother was raped, and I was given up for adoption. And one of the big things was inner cities for me, because I saw the destruction of the black nuclear family, which was doing beautifully in the 1950s and 60s. Yes, the country had problems, Jim Crow Democrat policies. But since then, we have seen generations either aborted or left by their fathers and it led into a life of crime, and many of them never even lived to see their 20th birthday. Tell me about this resolution, and tell me about what this means to you, sir.
I mean, this resolution really addresses the cancer of our land. You know, the one issue that's plaguing our country that many misrepresent and many try to disguise as racism and disparity.
Yeah.
And all those other kind of woke terms that you hear in the media. The root cause of our issues in our nation right now is fatherlessness.
And yes, sir.
One that wants to deny that is denying, you know, facts, or denying reality. And the stats don't lie.
You know, when you talk about 20 times more likely to go to prison if you're fatherless, that means you have prisons full of fatherless men. And so I go into those prisons and I see those men face to face almost every week. And so it's real. I mean, that's literally why they're in prison. They didn't have anyone to keep them accountable, to teach them life skills, to spank their butt when they needed to have their butt spanked.
Yep, a little swat on the butt.
Exactly. And, and the same thing with our education system. I mean, we talk about education system, and we all know what terrible damage these teachers unions are doing to our schools. But at the end of the day, those that are falling victim to our schools are the fatherless kids. They make up over 70% of the high school dropouts every year in America are fatherless. And so if you can point to those demographics with having the same issues that most people want to point to race, well, I can tell you right now, in the last 50 years, white fatherlessness has increased three times.
Yeah.
Hispanic fatherlessness has increased two times.
Yeah.
And so this is an issue for everyone. But unfortunately, the most underserved are the ones that pay the price because, you know, you're five times more likely to live in poverty. And so you just continue to go on. If we don't address the issue at the root cause, we really don't want to fix it.
You know, I'll share a story with you. My father, I was adopted, and my father left me when I was 7 years old. And I had a little sister 2 years younger than a brother who's the same age. We're adopted. And I remember the night he left, he slammed the door, and we never heard from him again, ever. And it destroyed my brother's life. My brother died in his sleep when he was 38 years old. He was drug-addled. He had a lot of arrests and whatnot, and it ruined his life. And I remember he was just so desperate to find out, how could you leave someone? How could you make someone and leave someone? It haunted him. And he found the father, my adoptive father. He found him because he thought he'd get some satisfaction. And the guy, you know, didn't even connect with him at all. He didn't have any answers. And this can ruin a kid. It's not just the act of leaving. It's just, why did you leave me like this? What is wrong with me? And it's internalized, and there's anger there, and there's anger and frustration, and it stays with you for your life. And it drives many kids to crime and criminality because there's nobody there. And I got to tell you that you're doing something about this. It means so much because this is something that I don't care what color, creed, race, sexuality, whatever. We've got to agree with being able to raise our kids.
That's right. And it's spiritual, man. Everything you just described, you rip out the spiritual core of your child.
Yes.
Feed them like that. And, you know, that's why everything that we do at the foundation of it is Christ Jesus. And it's the gospel, because that's truly the only thing that can replace that father figure, right? That father in the spirit, because that's what's broken is that spirit. And I think as a nation, we've gotten so far away from using God, the word of God, the principles of God. I mean, from the president on down, they'll get up and literally push policies that are the Antichrist. They'll push policies that go right against the Ten Commandments and what the Bible teaches.
What about unlimited abortion? Well, we've gone from safe, legal, and rare to, by God, I will kill that baby until the time of birth. This is worse than any country in the world, with the exception of North Korea. And I'm not kidding. That is North Korean. That is Chinese. What we're doing, what the Democrat Party in this country, they have sold their soul.
Completely sold their soul. And there's no denying it. And I'm not talking about them out of hate. I'm actually talking about them in love, because love is truth. And so if we get to the point where we cannot speak truth, then we don't actually love our brother. And I love the Democrats. I just think that they have lost their truth. I think they're destroying this nation, the soul of this nation, by their policies and by their just deep, deep commitment to appease anyone and everything that people want to do. Freedom is not free. It never has been. And so if you're not willing to sacrifice and stand for truth, then you don't truly have freedom. You don't truly have liberty. And so the fact that they can get on and be double-minded, speaking on the podiums across the country, from Nancy Pelosi to Joe Biden, claiming that they're people of faith, that they're Catholic people, but yet they go out and they push these Antichrist principles upon our babies and upon our kids and communities that are hurting. It really is despicable.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, as a nation, we need to start speaking to them in a spiritual way. We need
and
to
I'm
start
tell you,
calling them the Antichrist. We
yeah,
can't
you know,
keep making this political. We have to make it spiritual.
Yeah, and you know what? Here's the thing. I don't care what you have in your life. The only thing that matters in your life is who cares about you when you go. That's it.
Right.
And when you don't, when you don't know what you're missing when you miss raising a kid and loving a kid and having a family in your life. How did you, what happened on the morning that you found out that Roe v. Wade was overturned?
Oh man, it was a joy. You say, we were playing baseball, man. Yes. And you know, it's just summer. So like we play about 50 games over the summer.
My
and
God.
We were on a baseball field and I saw it pop up in my, in my news feed.
Yes.
I looked down at it. I was just like, I couldn't really scream, but
yes,
I wanted to scream, but I was just praising the Lord, man. You know, it was, I think, you know, and that started off, I mean, that whole week just
seemed
to be like a statement from God. I mean, like he was just, if you wanted to deny him, he was letting you know that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess.
Listen to this. Jack, You got the prayer on the football field. Joe Robinson gets to pray on the football field. You get vouchers for schools when your kids have no choice but public schools. And if they just happen to be a religious school, tough bleep, you know what? You got
right.
voter ID. You've got, let me see, Roe v. Wade. You got the EPA decision. You got the Second Amendment decision. I mean, these 2 weeks have been unbelievable. And you know the great thing, Jack, is that the makeup of the Supreme Court's going to be this way for a while.
For a long time. And you know, the thing is as soon as you get down, I was telling a friend of mine, as soon as we start getting down, right,
yeah.
as believers, as conservatives, we get down, God shows who's in control. The power, as soon as they think that they have the power, that man has the power and authority over this, God has already ordained this stuff to happen. There's nothing that anyone can do about it. They can steal elections. They can go out and try to manipulate the minds of people through their media. You know, they can shadow ban, they can do all of these things, the works of the devil, but they will never succeed in the big picture as long as God has his hand on it. And I think he showed us all that.
I think it's a glorious day. We waited a long time for it. Now, on a sports related, I'm not a big sports dude, but I do love my NFL football. I went without a couple years with all the woke nonsense and the kneeling and all that, but I'm back. You played for the Giants. You played for the Eagles. You played for the Arizona. You played for the Vikings. I lived in Minnesota for a while. I still have my Randy Moss jersey. I'm not kidding. I still got it. Which was your favorite team to play for? Could you be honest about that? Is there one you kind of lean for? Maybe not the team, but the fans. Which fans you thought were the best?
If I had to pick a group of fans, it'd have to be the Viking fans.
Yeah.
If I had to pick an organization, it'd have to be the Giants.
I got you.
I got to admit, because the Giants organization just treated me so well. It was so first class. I learned just so much about being a man and a businessman and going on into my life in that city meant so much.
Yeah.
But Minnesota, man, I tell you, I played at the Gophers in college. And,
those
fans just embraced me, man. And I was got voted a captain on my team in my second year.
I'm not hearing an accent here. You lived in Minnesota. Why aren't you saying that there, Jack? Why aren't you saying that? Hey, say, let's go.
I grew up in Texas. So it was a blend between Texas, Minnesota, and New York. It's hard to pick up.
Did you play in the Metrodome ever, or did you get the new stadium?
My whole career, I played at the Metrodome.
Dear God.
I played college there,
yeah.
And then played in the pros. So
you know, I hated.
I knew that AstroTurf too well.
You know what? I hated that stadium for baseball, but in the wintertime in Minnesota, oh, hell yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Let me ask you this. One more question. You're from Texas. I live in Kansas City. I want to ask you about Texas barbecue versus Kansas City barbecue. Now, I don't want you to just say which is better. I want you to say who's best at what. Because I already got an answer. What's Texas barbecue? What's it best at?
I'm a Texas barbecue man. I like the smoked. Right, Kansas.
Yep.
I like it. Just the flavor of it is not. I don't know if it's because I was how I was raised and what I was on. I can taste the difference right away.
Of course, you can.
I can taste the difference right away. I'm just a Texas barbecue man.
Yeah.
That flavor. Here's what I was raised on.
I'm going to give the beef title to Texas. Although,
no doubt.
But have you ever had a burn in Kansas City?
They're amazing.
Okay. Okay. So we win the burn in. You get the rib, the beef ribs. You get the beef brisket. All right. We'll give you that. Kansas City owns pork.
I give you the pork all day.
All right.
All day. And Jack, the pork ribs in Kansas City are amazing.
Oh, buddy. And you know what? I've been preaching the gospel of Kansas City barbecue for years, and I do. I got a couple pork butts going in. I like big pork butts. I cannot lie. but I'm a big fan of both. I'm a big fan. But also Texas, you guys use pecan wood. So I'll give you, right. Pecan is beautiful. It's beautiful with beef and fish. Brilliant. All right, my friend. I wish we could talk all day. I wish we could hang out with you because you're fantastic. Tell us where people can go for the Brewer Group.
Yes. Check out our the Jack Brewer Foundation.org. That's the Jack Brewer Foundation.org. Our programs are across the U.S. and we talk about this fatherlessness crisis and these kids. We touch them every day. We're in the juveniles, the prisons, man.
Jack, if you guys ever need somebody to come and speak about adoption and about fatherlessness, if you ever need anybody to speak, I will be there for you. I want you to know that.
Brother, I would love for you to come out to and actually be
one
of our guests of honor at our next Fatherhood Roundtable.
Let's do that.
Incredible.
All right, my brother. You have a glorious weekend, and I hope you win lots, all right?
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
God bless you, too, man. Let's take a break. You're listening to The Rob Carson Show.
Somebody call a plumber. It's time to drain the swamp. It's the Rob Carson Show.
Make sure to check out thebrewergroup.com, thebrewergroup.com. We can turn this around. We can turn this fatherlessness epidemic around. We really can. I want to share something. I hope I have time to do this here. I've gotten a lot of emails from people who've given up kids for adoption, have been adopted. And this came from Patty. And she said, my husband and I love you, listening to you almost every day. They live in Punxsutawney. Says, our 33-year-old son passed away in 2009 from a drug overdose. We had custody of his baby at the time, who was two. We decided to place the baby up for adoption, and we felt we were too old to raise the child. With the help of friends, we found a wonderful home that wanted to adopt the baby. He had to go to court to prove the mother, who had been in and out of prison, unfit with her history. It was not hard to do. It cost us money for attorneys. It was 5 hours on the witness stand being questioned by four different attorneys. We did not request updates from the adopted parents, but they do send school pictures and updates. The little one has a beautiful life with Christian folks, thinking that with the decision to Roe v. Wade, there will be hope, more happy adoption stories for folks that can't have children. Pardon me. It's a great story, and they need to know. He needs to know. Another note from Bonnie. You're doing God's work, Rob. You were working for Rush Limbaugh. You were there when we were working at the car dealership to pay your bills, and now when you tell the truth to people while using humor to help it sink in. I'm a successful upper middle class engineer who was blessed with an unexpected single pregnancy 1 week after I was awarded a full tuition scholarship to a prestigious engineering college when I was 20. This threw my whole world into a tailspin. My boyfriend wanted me to get an abortion. My friends wanted me to get an abortion. Even my mother had spent most of her life instilling me the values that I treasure. In a moment of weakness for the love of her youngest daughter, suggested I get an abortion. I didn't. I stood my ground, and I faced all sorts of consequences and pain in both the short term and the long term, but it was so worth it. My oldest son, who was born in 1988, is a treasure to this world. However, he does not see the history that way, and he hates me. He will never forgive me for my conservative beliefs. He is angry for me not being properly afraid for him and his wife to go back to school to teaching in public schools in 2020. The day he and his wife called to inform me of my wrongful beliefs was the day after the Iowa derecho of 2020. We lost power, and I was sending my youngest son off to college with my husband a day early because of our loss of power. He hasn't talked to me since, except for an angry phone call he gave me on the Friday before Mother's Day 2022, when he yelled at me for an hour. Even so, the phone call gave me hope. I want you to know that I'm praying for you, Bonnie. and hope and pray that he'll come to his senses. Let's take a break and come back. You're listening to The Rob Carson Show.
Rush Limbaugh shared his comedy for years. Now you'll hear it here. It's the Rob Carson Show.
And by the grace of God, it is finally Friday, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of people trying to bug out of town, either driving with really expensive gas or not driving at all because of really expensive gas, or attempting to take a flight, which is nearly impossible right now because, I don't know, maybe there were a lot of pilots who got fired because of COVID and not taking the shot. That said, here's Bill Shatner with a solution.
Cancel Flight Negotiator.
Now, with CancelFlightNegotiator.com, yes, you can name your own price to never arrive at your 4th of July destination. Why not book a flight with UAL, which stands for You Ain't Leaving? Be sure to check out our new companion fare.
Yes.
That's right. Two people can be stranded at the airport for the price of one.
Sweet!
And be sure to check out our new holiday fares. Leave on Thanksgiving. You might get there by Christmas. And every ticket purchased comes with a complimentary pillow for the 3 nights you'll spend sleeping at the airport. CancelFlightNegotiator.com. Shop, compare, save.
Cancel Flight Negotiator.
That is Jim Gossett. Jim Gossett, two S's and two T's, doing that piece of satire. Very nicely done, by the way. And you can go to jimgossettcomedy.com. Now, I'm going to segue into a couple of things this last hour because our time is nigh. We had a special guest, Jack Brewer, on the last hour. He talked about black fatherhood and fatherhood in general, but also how difficult it can be to be a conservative as a person of color in this country, even though the Democrat Party and liberalism has destroyed the black family. Democrat policies in the Great Society. But this week, there's no finer example of something that I had mentioned years and years and years and years ago when Hillary Clinton had done a speech and she said that she mentioned there was a conservative plantation. And it hit me immediately because I remember I was living in D.C. probably 10, 12 years ago. And I said, well, wait. Hold on a second. Whenever a person of color becomes a conservative, they become a complete pariah to the Democrat Party. They do. No matter who it is. Clarence Thomas, fine example. When you try to stray from the Democrat plantation, they send the hounds after you. Now that sounds pejorative. That maybe sounds what it's true. It happens. And there's no finer example than Clarence Thomas not writing the opinion for the Roe v. Wade reversal. He was part of it, but Sam Alito did it. But the media is going after Clarence Thomas. Why do you suppose that is? Well, what I just said, because he's black and he's conservative.
You better hope that they don't come for you, Clarence, and say you should not be married to your wife, who happens to be white.
He's been a person of grievance for as long as I've known him.
One of the nation's biggest racists right there.
Resentment, grievance, anger.
Everything she said is her looking in a mirror.
Clarence Thomas.
Yeah. Here is Representative Tim Scott talking about, well, you know, being a person of color who happens to be a conservative.
Well, I certainly think that the greatest threat to the liberal coalition are black conservatives who stand up and think for ourselves. We represent the fact that the African-American community is not a monolithic community.
By the way, Joe Biden wants to change the filibuster to restore abortion rights. That's not going to happen because Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema are saying no.
If you could ever break the stronghold that the Democrats have in the African-American community, the entire coalition falls apart.
And that day is coming.
And think about this, Jesse. President Biden's approval ratings have never been lower in the African-American community and the Hispanic community. The last thing people want to see are people like Clarence Thomas, Ben Carson, and myself standing up and making common sense popular everywhere in the nation.
Common sense, people. How many times have I been telling you that's what we need more of?
And oh, by the way, we happen to be black. That is a great threat to the entire coalition on the left. So they want to shut it down, cancel Clarence Thomas because he dares to think for himself. But more
call out the hounds.
More importantly, don't you think for yourself, because they want the price to be so high that you don't ever dare to leave wherever they say you should sit.
Oh, there is much, much joy in being able to separate yourself from that crowd of leftists who want to control your thoughts. They want to do it at the dinner table. They want to do it on social media. They ban you on social media if you're conservative. The mainstream media, it's like black conservatives don't even exist, and if they do, they need to be destroyed. Barbara in Baltimore, my favorite caller ever, is on the phone. Barbara, happy Friday.
Happy Friday, and thank you so much for taking my call.
Of course.
Jack Brewer is, oh my gosh, I love him.
Yeah.
You know, he was the person who called Donald Trump the first black president, because Donald Trump did more for the black community than all the Democrats have in previous administrations. And that's a fact. And I just, you know, I thank you for that. I also wanted to, I think it was Robin, whose child had turned against her. Robin, I understand how you feel, because I have been called white supremacist and a wannabe white person and all kinds of names by my children, even when I remind them that they were a choice. I made a choice to have you, even though you abused me verbally. I still love them. But I'm not changing my position on anything, because I know eventually they're going to have to realize I am right about this. This is their freedom, our lives, our liberty that's on at stake here. So I will never give that up, not for anything or anybody. And God is my witness to that, and he is the master. Yeah. And that's who we all answer to.
Now, Barbara, I lived in Washington, D.C. for about a dozen years, and all of my friends, mostly, except for a couple of guys named Keith, were liberal, very left of center. And when I left D.C., I got a talk radio full-time job, because before that I'd been an entertainment morning radio host and all that. And all my glorious friends who I spent thousands of nights breaking bread with them, New Year's Eves for a dozen years, I mean, the best friends in the world. They don't want me around. My best buddy for 16 years told me, you're no longer welcome in my house. And he's poisoned the minds of his children against me. And I'm crushed by it. But, you know, I got to tell you, my beliefs are more important than that. And I know that
Absolutely.
Sounds like a lot.
Can you imagine with me, my grandchildren? I have a grandchild I haven't seen for 3 years since Donald Trump was in office. And it's just unbelievable. But that's not the big story. The big story here is that we will overcome all of this. I will be speaking tonight at the meet and greet for Dave Wallace at the Cockeysville or Hunt Valley Holiday Inn Express.
Sweet.
And I'm certainly going to incorporate the information from jackbrewergroup.com into Dave's policies and Dave's program of restoring the American family, because he's always been America first. That's why he's my candidate. I know there is a black candidate, a Republican, great guy. I choose the businessman who will spend money, my tax dollars, the way he spends a budget. And because I know Dave has been America first before America first became popular.
Barbara, you've chosen your beliefs over friendship in many cases. You haven't chosen it over family. Your family has chosen their beliefs over you.
Yeah.
How hard has it been? Because it's tortured me to know that many of my friends no longer, they unfriended me on Facebook 6-7 years ago.
Well, I tell you something. You know,
it's got to be crushing.
Well, actually, you know what? I'm like, you know, being from Queens, you get stuff rolls off your back. It's not something I've cried over or something I've agonized over.
Yes.
And I just let them know, you've made Christmas real easy for me with what you've done. It's what they've done. It is what they've done. You know, instead of, you know, showering gifts and all this, that, and the other thing, because I believe that I'm right. And I believe that my path is the path that God has chosen. And I pray for them to come around. And I let them know that anytime they need me for anything or they call me for anything, I am there for them, but I will not compromise. And it's not questioned, because I found so much love, especially with the WCBM community, of people who can respect what I believe in and
believe that I'm right, and I believe I'm right.
Barbara, let me interrupt here. Because, you know, you talk about bondage and our sin of slavery, of course. But there is nothing worse than not being able to express yourself, freedom of expression. There are people who cross shark-infested waters on rafts and die before they reach our shores because freedom of expression means so much, Barbara. I mean, it means everything. Listen, I experienced that on Facebook. I experienced that on Facebook and YouTube, and you're thinking, hey, this is not a bad comparison. No, it is. When you get 200,000 people following on you on Facebook and you have people responding to how you are connecting with you, and then they blow up your page the day after after the election, or blowing up the walk-away movement from the Democrat Party on Facebook, that is that you cannot live your life if somebody's going to take your ability to be able to express yourself freely. It's a life not worth living, Barbara.
Well, I agree with you. And you have, and you know what? You've overcome that because now you have an even bigger audience.
Yes.
You have even more fans who love you. So I'm telling you, you know, what other people might have for evil for you, God turns into good. Because this has been a fantastic ride for you. And I know what it means to be censored. I mean, I got censored. I've been suspended. I never had that many followers. I think the most I ever had was close to 6,000. And I just thought it was good to be able to vent. But when they felt like I said something they didn't like and they cut me off, I was like, oh, my goodness.
It hurts. And it hurts, though, doesn't it? It's crushing. Well, it's crushing to have some people, a group of people deciding what you can and cannot say, and the government telling you that you can't have an opinion, that your opinion is disinformation or disinformation. That is Soviet Stalinist bullcrap.
Absolutely. But, you know, the Supreme Court has got to be commended. I don't know if people really realize just how big this EPA shutdown, how much impact that's going to have.
Yep.
That is huge. And with Roe v. Wade, that's one of the things I will be talking about tonight. It's going to be like, what is the next step for Maryland? Maryland is one of three states that allows abortions up to 9 months. I talked to people.
That's got to stop.
They did not know that Maryland allowed abortions up to 9 months. Everybody thinks, oh, I thought it was the first 3 months or the first 4 months. No, it is up to 9 months. So we're going to be talking about where do we go from here.
All right, Barbara. Listen, I got to run.
Thank you so much. And you have a great, great Independence Day.
Absolutely. I'm going to go buy me some fireworks after the show.
Yeah, blow it up. Because we can't blow it up here. We go to jail.
I'm going to tear the roof off the mother sucker.
Have fun.
See you. All right, let's take a break. You're listening to The Rob Carson Show.
There's only one Rob Carson on the radio.
Oh, thank God.
It's the Rob Carson Show.
It is Rob Carson Show Friday edition. Coming up, the Hispanic tsunami. You know, we're talking about a lot of people of color who are leaving the Democrat Party. There's a Hispanic tsunami coming. And I'm going to share some audio on that in a second. Although we do have somebody who's been holding for a few. It's from Albuquerque, New Mexico. It's not very often that I get to actually use a song to introduce someone. It's the Four Tops. Bernadette in Albuquerque is on the phone. Hello, Bernadette. How are you?
I listened to Rush from the time he was 2000 when they were doing the hanging Chad crap.
Oh, yes.
And until he passed away, and I was so sad when he broke the news of his cancer. But you are not Rush, but you're just as insanely funny.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. My husband heard you play the I Am Woman the other day when he came home early, and he's dying laughing.
I'll play that before the end of the show.
Oh, that was wonderful.
I have an update on trans madness that I'm going to share very shortly.
Okay. I wanted to call. Oh, my gosh. Bonnie made me cry.
Okay. You're talking about the letter from Bonnie had a son, and the son has decided to forsake her because she's a conservative.
Yes.
Okay,
yes. Go ahead. I was at 19 in 1984. I found myself pregnant. I didn't know what to do. I lived in a very tiny little house with my parents and my sister. I grew up Catholic. I never have believed in abortion. I prayed about it a lot, and we ended up, I gave her to a family through Catholic Social Services. And I'm so thankful for that. I don't know how she's doing. She's now almost 34, I think, 35. Wow. I've lost track of how old she really is. But I met my husband that I married a few months later. We got married in 89. In 93, our very first child, a little girl, died 3 days later from a heart defect. We had no clue.
I'm sorry.
I don't know how many times I would read the paper or I would look at the news and hear of people just abusing their children. One that stands out in my memory was from New York, and this lady just threw her five-year-old out a five-story window and killed her. And I would cry to the point where it was just like, why, God? Why would you do that? That you would take a little child away from somebody that really wanted one. And there's these people that just do not care.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if you didn't want your child, why would you just choose to just murder it?
Yeah.
That's just plain and simple.
Bernadette, I read those stories. I read those stories all the time. I read those stories all the time, and I don't usually bring them to the air because they're so disturbing. There was a five-month-old baby shot to death in Chicago, you know, and I see stories of parents abusing their children, starving them to death, you know, and I just, it's so maddening. It's so maddening, Bernadette.
Sick. There are so many people. I have friends who have been trying to adopt a baby for years and can't, and they get so close to it. And then the mother of that child decides, no, I just want it.
Yeah.
So in my mind, that's just, you know, whatever.
Well, Bernadette, can I say something real quick, Bernadette?
Yeah.
If you have the opportunity as an adult, I'm not talking to you specifically, Bernadette, but I hope that maybe if you love someone, or maybe you're an empty nester, you know, maybe foster some kids. Maybe foster a teenager. Maybe...
I am a crossing guard, and I look at my little kids every single day, and I treat them just like my own. I have two boys that are in their 20s, and when Bonnie said that her son disowned her, I was thinking, well, ours just yelled at us after going visiting him a month ago and decided he didn't want to talk to us ever again. I don't know when that ever again will be, but we're going to counseling because of it.
I'm sorry.
And I'm hoping that the Lord will just change him.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's sad and pathetic that you'd give up your parents. I mean, I don't care how left to center.
I love my children.
My parents would be. I would have. I never forsake my children, dear God in heaven. I certainly wouldn't have forsaken my parents.
We never would have talked to our children, our own parents, the way these kids do these days. That's how I look at it, too. But you know what? That's my baby. I still love him. And I'm not going to give up on my youngest. My oldest, he's fine. They don't live here in the state.
But well, Bernadette, I want to thank you. And when you call, I will play Bernadette the song from the Four Tops for you. I will. I promise you, Bernadette. I promise you.
Thank you.
All right. Have a glorious
Independence Day.
You bet. When my son was an infant, I went to I got very involved in a crisis daycare center in Newport, Kentucky. Excuse me. And they had teenage girls who had babies, and they would literally drop the baby off at the daycare center with a bottle of Mountain Dew. Because they're children having children. And those kids are all probably 22, 23, about my son's age. And maybe if you're an empty nester, maybe if you're planning on not having kids, why don't you consider fostering, considering adopting, not a baby, but a kid. You can save their life. And we see these videos online. Dogs being saved. And, oh, you get all teary-eyed. You watch a dog being, you know, adopted. And then you see the commercial on TV with In the Arms of an Angel. And it shows the dogs and you get all weepy. How about the kids? How about the kids? It's life-changing. You can save a life. Check out AdoptUSKids.org. AdoptUSKids.org. Will you? Just do that. That'll be your homework assignment. Let's take a break. We got another half hour of the show and it's going to get good. Hispanic Convoy on the way. Don't go anywhere.
Joe Biden has always been a punchline. Now he's just a joke. It's the Rob Carson Show.
There is a Hispanic convoy coming to Congress.
Era como la brisa, caminaba sin prisa. Era nueva en la ciudad.
And the Republican Party.
Años de niña, ojos de arena, sus manos el agua del mar. Dimos vueltas y vueltas de aquí para allá. En medio de una tempestad. Era como si el invierno regresara sin nada.
Sing along, here's the chorus.
Aire era su nombre si me dijo la verdad, metiéndose en mi vida como un vendaval.
I don't even speak Spanish.
Aire que busca un sitio en el aire a donde ir, y ahora solo necesito aire para vivir, aire.
I love that. That's the Spanish version of Convoy. Now, I started that off. Because the governor of Arizona and the governor of Texas, when I initially found that piece of production, that song, I was doing it because there were illegals coming across the border. And again, you know, the lion's share of them are Hispanic individuals. They speak the language, which was brought to Central South America, Mexico, by the conquistadors. So I mean, technically, they are the progeny of conquistadors and the Maya, the Inca, the Toltec, the Aztec, and you know whatever. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. So they're coming across the border, and Democrats they want to upset the balance of power, create a permanent underclass, and they take these people for granted. I personally, I'm like when I meet people not only from the southern border but also people from around the world who come here, I've always struck up a conversation because I'm fascinated. What brought you here? Right now, an illegal immigration policy is bringing people here. It is being broadcast to the people south of the border and the entire world by policy. It is being intentionally broadcast around the world. Come here, you'll be let in. This is kind of interesting, though. Majority of Hispanic voters support former President Donald Trump's Title 42 immigration policy that makes it easier for the federal government to deport border crossers and illegal aliens. According to Axios, which is left of center, very left of center. Majority of Mexican Americans, Puerto Ricans, Cuban Americans support keeping Title 42 in place, according to the poll. However, this 41% of Central Americans support the policy. They also found that 58% of second generation Hispanics, 59% of third generation Hispanics support the policy. So they know that even though they are fellow brown people, you see, this is what the Democrats do. They're willing to step in, and they're just willing to talk to you, you know, and make decisions for you. Because, you know, you're a brown person, or you're a black person, or you're an indigenous person. And I know that maybe the team mascot is not offensive to you, and you don't really care. But I'm willing to step in and just say, I'm offended that you still have the mascot, the Chiefs. We've got to get rid of it. And I know that George Floyd's murder by the police officer was, it's not Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben's fault, but we know as white Karens who live in liberal America that chances are you think that the Land O'Lakes Indian girl and Uncle Ben and Aunt Jemima have to go away because it's better for you because it's racially, it's stigmatism. Now, I know the family of Aunt Jemima are very upset because Aunt Jemima made a crap load of money being Aunt Jemima. It's a real person, and she was a character actor, and it made her town famous and everything because she was Aunt Jemima, and nobody ever said, oh, hey, look at there, there's Aunt Jemima. She's a caricature of black people. No, it was just a woman who was Aunt Jemima, somebody you could trust. Somebody you could trust, somebody you could care about, somebody who would be like, you know, no, she looked like a servant. No, she looked like somebody you could trust and somebody you could love. And if you were sitting at a table with her, you'd want to eat at Aunt Jemima's table. You would. I would break bread with Aunt Jemima any day of the week. And I would literally pass the long grain and wild rice to Uncle Ben. And I might even just dip the spoon in there and say, Uncle Ben, would you like some more rice? And he'd say, why, yes, Rob, I would like some more rice. And I'd say, let me get that for you, sir. And I'd just dip it out on his plate there, and I'd say, there you go. He'd say, thank you, Rob. And I'd say, thank you. I'd say, man, Jemima, Uncle Ben, would you like to grab hands and say grace? Okay, let's say grace. See, it's kind of crazy that way. You know, it's like all this racial nonsense that the Democrats are stirring up is all made up. And 98% of it is. Yes, there are racists in America. But most people don't give a damn. Most people don't give a damn. where I live, if there was a black man on the side of the road with a flat tire jacking up the back of his car, those who couldn't help out would be on the phone calling for help, not the police. Oh, yeah, you'd probably call the police on because he's a black man. No. No, if I couldn't help, if I was in front, I'd call the police. I'd say, hey, there's a guy here. He really needs some help. Or you'd get a half a dozen people pulling over, next exit, coming around, or just pulling in behind and helping that man out. And that's the way most of the country is. It's amazing. So all of this race division, all this nonsense really is just that. And by the way, to add indignity to insult, Democrats want to take the radio stations that expats from Cuba and other countries that have murderous communists in charge, when they escape here, whether that be on the land or overseas, the Latino Media Network has been created. They're led by two Democrat Party activists with ties to Barack Obama and George Soros. And they have $80 million, and they want to buy 18 Spanish-language radio stations from the Univision Televisa conglomerate. And they want to broadcast communist, socialist propaganda on those stations. And those stations are the voice of freedom to those people. That's how desperate the Democrat Party is. They couldn't get us. They colluded. They worked hand in hand with big social media and the mainstream media, and they stole an election. And they're doing everything they can to make sure that conservative voices are not heard. And you know what this is going to mean to the audiences at these radio stations? If this is allowed to happen, they're going to bankrupt these radio stations. Nobody's going to listen to them. And they can take these radio stations and they can go straight to hell. Unbelievable. Hispanic Americans in the region especially protested the proposed sale of two Miami stations, Radio Mambi, or Mambai, and former Cubanissima, WQBA, as they have for decades broadcast anti-communist content to Florida and the island of Cuba. You know why? Because you can't hear this radio on Cuba unless you stream these radio stations. If you can. Hispanics have dubbed the Latino Media Network Radio Soros, and have expressed concern that the group will silence beloved conservative personalities on talk radio. That's the plan. The FCC has not approved the sale at press time and is accepting public comments on the matter on its website, like they'll listen. The Congressional Hispanic Caucus, the CHC, urged the FCC to approve the transfer of the stations to the left-wing Latino media networks, claiming that the sale would help combat disinformation, which shows you that the Congressional Hispanic Caucus is just as left-leaning as the Congressional Black Caucus. They could give a crap less about black or brown people. All they care about is communism, socialism. That's what it's all about, kids. That's what it's all about. Left wing. Yay. I got a couple things I want to get to. I did promise that I was going to play the transgendered I Am Woman song here shortly. Let me see what else here. I got a couple of things I got to get to today. Hold on. Oh, this is pretty. Oh, this is great. Listen to this. Well, out of the state of Missouri, which I call a neighbor, and I lived there for 10 years, Governor Parson signed a bill, 1878, HB 1878, requires voter ID, eliminates drop boxes. Yeah. They signed it yesterday. Mike Parson, who's normally kind of rhino-ish, he signed this thing. Says, we're happy to be joined by Representative John Simmons and Senator Sandy Crawford to sign HB 1878 into law. In 2020 and years prior, Missouri has conducted free, fair, and secure elections, but with changing technologies and new emerging threats, we want to ensure that they remain that way. So all registered voters in Missouri have to provide an ID to vote, and repeals the use of mail-in ballots while allowing certain absentee ballots, strengthening the integrity of each new vote. So bye-bye to the Zuckerbucks. Yeah. You know, this is so racist, honestly. This is so racist. If you're a person of color and you're driving to Missouri, you might as well bring your own rope, because that's how Mike Parson's the governor of Missouri. You, I mean, it's over. they're just so bloody racist, and there's so much Jim Crow and all that, you know, and all that. And no, actually, no. Because, you see, they did this in Georgia, and the MLB pulled the All-Star game out of Atlanta because of it. And the biggest demo in the last election, primary, I should say, there's a massive increase in voter turnout among all people, but especially among black people. I know! Crazy how that happens. And it's crazy how it always blows up in the left's face. It is absolutely nuts. Good for Missouri. Public schools in Texas would rename slavery as, quote, involuntary relocation. This is when the left eats its own. This is fantastic. Under new social studies standards proposed to the state's Board of Education, state passed a law in 2021 to remove topics from schools that make students feel uncomfortable. This is in Texas. A group of educators proposed to the Board of Ed that slavery be taught as involuntary relocation during the second grade studies because, you know, you don't want to make those kids feel uncomfortable. Well, I, for one, I didn't live through the horrors of slavery, and none of my ancestors were slave owners because we all came here after 1900. But I want slavery to be remembered in every way, shape, and form as for the horrible, awful, cruel institution that it was. And I think of all of those who spent their entire lives in servitude and all of those who literally had their children and their spouses sold away from them. I think about that all the time. But calling it involuntary relocation is really stupid. It'd be like saying, okay, you know what? We don't want to shock the second graders, but we're going to call the Holocaust Jewish summer camp. Yeah, that's a good idea. Jewish summer camp we're talking about here. Or maybe you could talk about China's Cultural Revolution, where Mao oversaw the death of up to 60 million people. You could call it Happy Fun Time. I think Happy Fun Time would be good. Or maybe with Japanese internment camps that Roosevelt and the other Democrats were all for, just call it Asian Non-Voluntary Housing Plan. I think that'd be a good idea. Non-voluntary housing plan is what that. If you're going to do it, I mean, go for it. Coming up, I have some absurdity, including a new gay Spider-Man. I'm not kidding. They've got a new, but he's like super gay. You know, and if you're super gay, that's cool. I don't care. You can be ultra gay for all I know. We got that. And also the new Buzz Lightyear did a face plant, and I'll explain why. And we're going to play our very special I Am Woman song about male athletes competing as women. That's all coming up before the end of the show. Do not leave your radio. It is the Rob Carson Show, and I, of course, am the namesake of that radio program. Hi, and welcome to. We're going to have the couple of updates here, real quick. I do want to mention that Tim Allen was replaced as Buzz Lightyear, and the reason why he was replaced as Buzz Lightyear is because he said that he liked Donald Trump. And that is absolutely 100% true. He has criticized the new Buzz Lightyear film, which saw him replaced with actor Chris Evans, who literally rubbed conservatives' face in the fact that he was the new Buzz Lightyear. And it did a face plant. Absolutely sucktacular, awful, awful, awful. Tim Allen has sounded off about it. He says, a wonderful story. It just doesn't seem to have any connection to the toy anymore. It has no relationship to Buzz. We talked about this many years ago, but the brass that did the first four movies is not this. It's a whole new team, and that really had nothing to do with the first movies, and he stayed out of it. He also lost his TV show, which at the time was the most popular television show in America on network television. And Last Man Standing, he got rid of it because he was a conservative. But the woke Buzz Lightyear is doing a face plant, doing a face plant. Now, I think we need to do our update for athletes who are, if I can get this thing to load. Hold on one second. Let me get it in a minute. The athletes who are born women being able to perform and to compete with men performing as women. That's what I mean. So born men competing against women. Here we go. It's Jim Gossett, by the way. dedicated to Leah Thomas.
I am woman, not a man, despite this new transgender ban.
Uh-huh.
Though my voice is deep and I've got facial hair.
You don't look very feminine.
They ban me, but I'll be back. Bravery I do not lack. You don't have to tell me to grow a pair.
Now, you already got him.
Oh, yes, I'm a girl. Against women I compete. People want a hurl when I win another meet.
Or in the locker room.
Swimming medals, I will steal all of them.
All of
them. I have a beard.
Beard.
I've got testicles.
Testicles.
I am woman.
Yeah, that's what? Something
Venus
else.
Venus says that I can't swim. They claim that I am a him.
I feel weird.
But I'll be back. Just you wait and see. Oh, yes, I'm a she. I even wear a dress.
Stands when he pees.
Though it's no mystery, the whole package I possess. But they banned me from everything. I have a brawn,
brawn.
I have a prostate gland,
prostate gland.
Woman.
I just feel kind of weird. So anyway, the transgender woman, Ricky Trace, she's 29 years old, won the women's division of the Border Open in New York City, taking home a $500 first prize. This guy has a woman, Jesus God, holy hell. Anyway, she was born male, too, now identifies as a woman, won the Border Open. She's 29 and apparently also beat four girls, four of which were under the age of 17, including a 10-year-old girl. Jury Ikura came in fifth place. But, you know, here's the deal. The Ricky, don't lose that number, by the way. Ricky Trace, here she is talking about, saying basically, you know what, I'm in here to win. I don't care how those kids are.
Didn't intend to do. I find that funny because that's like what I'm getting beat up about the most is like you're beating little kids and little girls. And I'm just like, I didn't intend to do that. Like, I just.
Well, maybe if you would have. Looked at the competition and saw that it was open to adults and children.
This was the first competition that I've been to that I actually wanted to win. It makes me really...
I really wanted to beat those fourth graders, and I beat them to a pulp.
Happy to see that there's kids that young that are in competitions, and they're shredding and even placing in the high ranks.
And I'm so so sorry that as an adult man, I mean woman, that I could beat the snot out of them.
So that's, like, incredible. To me, that's not any reason to, like...
Yeah, you're mentally ill. Yeah, I just said it. Yeah, mentally. Oh, yes, and then that Disney-owned Marvel is set to debut its first openly gay Spider-Man. Now, this is where it gets really stupid and insulting to gay people. Effeminate characteristics dressed in lace. Not kidding. Web Weaver, a not-so-mild-mannered fashion designer at... This is... I'm not making this up. This should... you, if you are gay, this should, you should be embarrassed by this. Even if, you know... Anyway, so at Van Dyne, gets spider powers and shows us very different kind of spider slayer. Yeah. Writer Steve Fox also noted that he was it was a huge gay honor to introduce the first gay Spider-Man. I had a huge honor... Honor... Oh, I thought it was B-O-N-E-R. To help create the web weaver, the lace-wearing Spider-Man. Okay. I'm not going to end the show on that note. I'll come back and end the show right after this. It's the Rob Carson Show. I think music is going to be a big part of my weekend. A little Rage Against the Machine. Guys, have a glorious weekend. God bless you and your family, our first responders, our military, living and deceased, and Gold Star families, and the unborn, and of course, you guys. And until Monday, or no, Tuesday, don't catch the stupid. See ya.